Good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. This is the day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, my friends. What a day. What a day it is to serve Jesus in all of his glory. This is the day that mountains will fall. This is the day that valleys will be brought high. This is the day that you will walk through and see breakthrough. He never promised that the fire would not come. He never promised that the trial would not manifest. He never promised that something bad or something hard or difficult may have to walk through. But he did promise us this. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he is the great deliverer. And he is the great rescuer. And he is the great redeemer. And whatever you're facing, we're praying with you today, believing God for your victory, believing God for grace to endure, and believing God for grace to persevere. In the name of Jesus, let me just say over your life, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, friend. This is September the 4th, 2025. Welcome in to Mornings with Box 2 Radio here on the Box 2 Radio Network. And we just want to welcome in our 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow listeners, our 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg listeners, and of course our Owensboro listeners there at 98.3, and listen to all of our app community and body as well. We love you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Praying for our kiddos as they're going to school today. Praying for our families as they go to work and about their schedules. Praying for a sound mind and peaceful mind. Praying for a carefree day. Cast your burdens upon him. Cast your cares upon him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, my friend. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Still full of gratitude.
Amen. Well, I've been really thinking about Colossians a lot lately. And Colossians 1. And we're going to read for our verse of the day, verse 9 and let's just go 9 through 12. 9 through 12. I love those. It's a big verse of the day, but I like them. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Love this next part. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We know him more every day. Being strengthened all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I love that phrase, to the Father who has qualified you. You didn't qualify yourself. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen.
He qualifies the called.
That's right. We do not qualify ourselves, but he qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints.
I used to see that quote a lot. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah. It's a good quote, ain't it? Mm-hmm. We have been called by God.
Takes the pressure off. People think they got to clean up before they come to him.
Ian Bound says something tremendous on prayer, as I've quoted him quite often, did yesterday, doing again today, because his stuff on prayer is just amazing. But he says, four things let us ever keep in mind in prayer. He says, four things let us ever keep in mind. God hears prayer. God heeds prayer. God answers prayer. And God delivers prayer. Love that. God hears prayer. God heeds prayer. God answers prayer. And God delivers by prayer.
Amen.
Well, it's finally got some rain this morning that we've been needing. Started storming and early this morning. And it's been kind of storming off and on all morning. Going to have some more rain coming in here in just a little bit. Looks like in 20 minutes or so, looks like some possibly more rain coming in. And then rain maybe again around the 9 o'clock. About 8 to 10, there's a chance of storms and rain today. And then after that, it's going to turn really beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be sunny and a high of 73. So what a day it's going to be. We needed that rain, and the Lord has been gracious to us in it. And then, of course, there are a few hurricanes brewing right now. So please be in prayer for those that are surrounding.
What's this one called?
Well, I think the one that's close to Mexico is the Rena. And then there is Kiko, which is more towards Hawaii. And then there's another one towards Japan right now. So there's several brewing, but always devastating, and they're hardcore storms. So, amen. Miss Renee is in the house with us. Miss Renee, how are you doing?
I'm good. It took me forever to get here. It was raining so bad.
It was?
And I got behind everything that creeped and crawled.
Been there before.
It took me a while today, and I left on time, but still took a while.
You have a lot longer drive than we do.
Yeah.
Not much, though.
Hour and 15 minutes one way. Praise God.
If I walk backwards from home...
Y'all live here,
may
right?
Take 10 minutes.
Do both of you live on this property?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, y'all are.
Yeah. Yeah, I am
unless it's snowing on you.
Yeah, I am thinking about moving, though, because my neighbors just, they're rough blue by.
Oh, my gosh, you just walk right over. How nice.
No, it is very nice. We used to live up here, and I said, all you have to do is two lifts. One at the front door and one under the radio.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
But, no, it is good to have you, Miss Renee. Thank you for battling the rain. And even the snail reached the ark by great perseverance.
Oh, that's good. He did.
And so good stuff this morning. We're excited in the book of Mark. Not for sure where the Holy Spirit's going to take us in conversation, but I know that he will take us. And I have a Bible question or two that we're going to talk about. And here, a lot of the men were working on something. It's going to be good, and it's just part of the ministry of what we're calling the Trailblazers and the men groups that we're kind of starting and going to try to work on just a couple of cool things we got brewing behind the scenes. Is try to work on a online community that's not necessarily not social media. We may have to surrender to social media on it but we're looking for something to be able to broaden this group out to other men and other churches to join us in an online group and then help them start something like this at their local churches. But one thing we're going to do immediately, and we're working on all the details now, is we will be starting a podcast for men.
Well, that's great.
And it will be, we're not sure on the quantity, either 2 to 3 times a week we'll release a roughly 30-minute broadcast.
Wow.
Not a broadcast. It won't be on the radio. This will only be podcast, and we'll be doing that and being able to release it on all your major podcast channels. And it'll be just a broadcast. It'll be a podcast to men. It's going to be called Trailblazing Men, Transforming Culture and Building Legacy. And
we're
really
it.
Excited
I love
for it.
It.
And we'll actually be cutting the first podcast today or tomorrow. And then you have to have that cut to get all these channels to accept it, and then we'll be ready to roll.
So, couple weeks?
Probably a couple weeks. It'll probably be able to be launched, and just been spreading the word about that. And it'll be one geared just to men.
Now, how many men do you have in it right now?
Participating in the challenge some way, some form, some fashions, probably, I'd say we're just shy of 30.
Wow, that's great.
And so now... some of them are more active than others. We probably got, if you want to say ones that are really doing it hardcore, we're probably at closer to 10 to 12.
Yeah.
But to participate some way, 30, just shy of 30. But had the opportunity just to really talk to a lot of men lately. And even at the fair last week, had a lot of opportunity to talk to some men, especially those that used to be part of Man Up. And they're really excited for the podcast, it seems like, too. And we'll
awesome.
Be bringing a lot of different men with us. I'll have the great honor to host it regularly, but there will be a lot of other men that kind of filter in and out.
So what is Man Up?
It was a ministry that we did in Grayson County, and other counties do it too, but we would meet once a month at different churches, and we would eat a meal together, worship.
Oh, wow.
And we will probably, it won't be under the same name, but we'll probably hopefully start something like that back up soon. And try to get, we're just passionate about men. We're passionate about men being men, getting together with other men. Because it would be no stretch to say the godlier the men in your community, the godlier your community.
Wow, I would agree. And so, homes and everything.
Yeah, so we're just going to pour ourselves into it, and that's a direction we really feel like the Spirit of the Lord's pushing us into in this season. And some things that we always said we wish we'd have done, you know, a little bit, maybe I was like, I always felt like certain things we could have done differently or something like that. And I talked to some of the men and they said we'd have loved that. So I think the Lord's really knitting hearts together in this season. But all that just to say, you know, stay tuned for that podcast, because it's going to be releasing. And we're not doing it to try to get famous or try to get names known. I mean, like, we do this broadcast every morning and we don't say, hey, I'm Aaron Wilson, or hey, that's Hannah Hayes. Like, we're, not, yeah. we're just, hey, it's, we're here. And we're not here to build a platform. We're here to share Jesus. And
I think you're also putting feet to something. Like, it's one thing to hear messages like you came to our church and spoke to men, and that's great. That's great. You want to pump. But it feels like sometimes it falls short. Like, you get all excited, but then there's, how do you like implement this daily?
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often, I mean, women, everybody struggles with how do you implement. I do think consistency and being committed probably has really done something to you on so many levels, hasn't it? Like, doing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just the discipline. I've learned, and I know people get probably sick of me hearing like talk about my health journey I've been on for the last 2 months, but it has taught me discipline, and it's taught mm-hmm. me a little structure, and it's filtering over into probably all the other phases of my life. And I think it is helped me a lot, just learning, like, I may not like to do this, and there's some days you're not, especially as men, like, you're gonna wake up and like, I think it was Tuesday, I woke up and there's not one fiber of my body that wanted to work out. Like, there was not one thing in my whole body that said, go to the gym, mm-hmm. go today, I'm excited. Actually, I woke up that morning and said, this seems like a really good rest day.
Yeah.
And I just said, I got up and I was like, no, I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm going. And honestly, it was, I know this sounds stupid and silly for some people, but just hang in there, because there's something spiritual coming. I set personal records on every exercise I did that day.
Wow.
Like, it was personal records for every exercise. One exercise, I actually topped it by 70 pounds.
Mm.
I went 70 pounds over my previous weight. And that just showed me, like, the enemy in your life is going to wake you up sometimes. When you get up in the morning, he's going to say, don't do it today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
he
do
did
it
for me this morning.
Don't do it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as men and as women of God, and even as young people, like, those moments that's in your ear, like, you know, don't, I've been on this kick a lot. Like, don't go to church today. Mm-hmm. It's just church. It's just church. No, it's assembling together of the saints.
Yeah.
So that we can be equipped for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. We're teaching our kids how important it is to gather together in worship. We're worshiping the King of Kings. Don't. It's just Wednesday night Bible study. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You've been busy all day long.
Yeah.
It's just prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to pray with or without. You can pray at home. It's okay.
Yeah.
And those are the moments that hunger comes in. Because the thing that pushed me yesterday to the gym was not, I have to. It was, I may not feel like it, but I know when I go, it's going to produce something in me.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get to that spot.
Mm.
So it's like, how bad do you want to see the glory of God manifest in your life? How much do you want to walk in the fullness of what Christ
wow.
has for you? And you have to push yourself in those moments. And I think men, especially because I'm one and I know how it feels, we need pushed every once in a while. We got to be reminded and realize, oh, we're not pushing alone either. Because one thing that helped me Tuesday when I did go, somebody went with me. And nobody ever goes with me. So I was like, well, they're wanting to go with me. I'm going to be pushed. And sometimes that's men.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's kind of one of the reasons I feel pushed into this podcast by the Spirit of God, is that it is consistency and it would be constantly something. And there's a lot of things we can talk about on a podcast we definitely can't talk about on the radio.
Sure.
And there's some things that men really need to discuss in here amongst men.
Absolutely.
And so we're excited for it.
Well, you know, in Revelation, and I know you want to switch over, but I think one of the things that builds, and even for women or us being consistent to be in Scripture or getting up every morning and having a routine to take care of our children or our family, is Jesus talked in Revelation about endurance, he who endures to the end.
Uh-huh.
And I don't feel like our culture doesn't understand endurance. We've got a generation that if it doesn't feel good, you don't do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't do it. You know, it's based, excitement based, you know, it's the catalyst that gets us to the next thing. But once the feelings settle down, then we're off to something else. So we're really moved by temporary.
Absolutely.
And Jesus, one of the monumental things of Scripture is endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Endurance. And that's what builds strong leaders. That's what builds people of continual faith. That's, you know, I'm sure when David Wilkerson went to Times Square Church and he was in a place, he was like a fish out of water, and God sent him there. And, you know, he would use David Wilkerson to win Nikki Cruz to the Lord. So that was the platform that would build Teen Challenge and all this stuff. But when he's there, he doesn't get to see what's coming. He has to just be faithful with what he's been given. So he who is faithful over little, I'll give him much. And we're just not faithful. We're not indoors.
Yeah. So, you know, we actually taught this last night, Miss Renee, in Revelation. It was in 13.
Okay.
And this, you know, 13 at the end there, the Antichrist has risen.
Yes.
Or
yes.
The other Christ, as actually the Greek word says. And then the false prophet, what would be the false prophet? The second beast comes in that points everybody to worship the Antichrist. And verse 7, it talks about allowing them to make war and conquering them and authority over the earth. And Satan gave Antichrist the authority. And then verse 9, 10 is where you're at. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes.
Mm.
If anyone is to be slain with the sore he must be slain.
Mm.
Here is a call for the endurance and the faith of the saints. That
wow.
is contrary to what we, you know, like if the enemy takes you, and I'm not wanting to say woe is me, we just go there. But it's like this persecution is coming. And literally John is writing by influence of the Holy Spirit and vision and seeing it. Here is a call to endurance and faith.
And the thing about it is endurance doesn't just show up. It's built. And so I think that's, you know, God awakening to you to probably where you were at and some men around you. You just don't wake up one day and say, yes, I can do this. You build it relationship through endurance daily, doing the little things that you don't want to do. And so when those big moments show up, that moment where you might want to leave your church or you're tempted to get out of a marriage that's difficult or you want to just wash your hands of a child that's got into something, you can't make it in those times if you don't take the good times and build endurance during those times. It is what gives us the fortitude to walk through fire and to walk over coals. Is because little by little, every day, we allowed ourselves to be given over to Christ rather than over to ourselves. And then, you know, because if you don't, when those troubles come and the Scripture's plain, you won't be able to walk to do what God wants you to do.
Absolutely. Amen. Good stuff. There's a call to endurance, and I could not agree more with you, Miss Renee, on what you just said, though, of the faithfulness. And we're very... And that's what I've been trying to preach for the last 2 or 3 weeks on conquering emotions. And you're not a slave to your emotions, but we become very emotional with our relationship with Jesus. And I think in that, it's basically saying it's not that we shouldn't feel the love we have for him or we shouldn't feel the joy. But what I mean by the emotional side is I'll serve him today if it's convenient. I'll serve him today if it fits into the schedule. I'll serve him today if there's nothing else going on. I'll assemble together if I got nothing better to do. It's a pretty day. I think I'm going to go for a walk, and then I'll just, you know, I'm not really worried about the church. I'm going to go. And I get it, like, people say, well, Aaron, you're just really trying to get people to come to church because you want the numbers. I don't care about the numbers. What I do care about, though, is being assembled together for the equipping of the saints. What I do care about is we're setting precedents for our kids, saying a lot of other things are more important than the gathering of the saints.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? And we're in a generation to where church attendance is exponentially down.
Absolutely.
And if you want to build a foundation in your children, you need to start at an early age. You know, they pick little stories up here. They pick that up. They are catching the anointing at times. They hear stuff. You're building a foundation in your child. And so you get that. You can get that at home. Sure, you can get that at home. But there's something about a camaraderie with other believers. There's something about being able to break bread. When you look at the book of Acts, they were a community. They were very communal, where they gathered together, broke bread, cried together, prayed, and their collective faith caused God to move so many times to bring healing and deliverance and to build the church. So
kingdom. Mm-hmm.
Kingdom. It was building the kingdom, and it come around a table, breaking bread and spending fellowship time with each other. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, when kids are home, it's like a piece of the kingdom. You know, I feel like when we gather with other believers, it's, you know, we prophesy in part because we know in part. It's different parts being put together. So I believe, more of a revelation of the kingdom of God when there's more believers together.
Oh, that's good, Hannah. So, like, you're only getting a part at home.
Yes.
But when you gather.
You have to have that part, though, because, I mean, if you're only getting it one time a week, you're getting that full picture, but then you're not getting the foundation and the building and the day-to-day stuff. But I don't think we can do it with, I mean, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly.
Yeah. The joining together, the coming together, the knitting together. Because together we will create, he will create together a habitation of the Holy Spirit.
Mm, that's good.
And I think part of it is, like, you know, having each other's back too. Because when you're at home and you don't have other, I mean, you have your family, hopefully. When you're all together, it's better. But say it's just you and your child, or just you, like, you don't have people around you that have your back, even as a watchman or as a sharpening, you know, and you're more of a target for the enemy. But I feel like when we're all together, we're able to look out for one another. We're able to sharpen each other. We're able to, you know, give this nugget of wisdom here, because we can, some our brother or sister can sometimes see what we can't see.
Well, and it's, you know, if you look how, if you look in nature, it can really preach the gospel. And a wolf, how a wolf is able to kill the prey, they isolate whatever their prey is, they isolate it away from the pack. And so that makes that whatever they're after more vulnerable. And that's how Satan is. He isolates you through depression, through offense, you know, anxiety, whatever it could be, that, or just maybe you're busy and you're just like, I've got this. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to the word every day. And that's good, but that cannot supplement for the local church.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot take place of a local church and having believers around. I love that, Hannah, that you're getting, you see in part, but when even on radio, like, I've come here so many Thursdays and I've walked away with my cup so full because Aaron or Greg or Hannah, you bring something to the table I'm not seeing. And so I go away and I go, wow, that was so good today. And so I'm able to store that up in the treasure of my heart, and because I can only see that from the place I'm looking, but you're looking from different angles and views. So praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Where is Greg today?
He's not with us. I don't know. He just said he wasn't able to come today. So
oh, okay. Well,
he wasn't able to make it in.
Okay.
The creek rose. I don't know. no, I'm sure there's a, he always has a good excuse if he doesn't come in, and we miss him. So, but yeah, I couldn't agree more of the assembly together, the equipping of the saints, the iron sharpening iron coming in here. And in the Greek, if you look at what's going on in Ephesians, whenever it talks about knitted and joined together, it's basically, let's see here. I forgot where I was at, but they were talking about this bowl that had been repaired, and the bowl had been like, there was like, it was like this bowl that had been cracked and broke, but they put it back together and it was beautiful. And like the, it was like a purple gold, like refined by the fire kind of deal. But when it, when it was melted and fused together, that bowl was stronger than it ever was. And you could see the cracks, and it's what made it beautiful was the cracks, because it infused color and all that kind of stuff into it. And I was looking at that bowl, and I was remembering it, because it was going for a lot of money or something like that, or it was a very prestige piece. And they were talking about, because of the cracks and how they've been repaired, now the bow is as strong as ever. And in reality, that's what the Lord's doing when he's knitting and joining us together. He's creating this vessel called the body of Christ that can become a habitation of his spirit. And there was brokenness, but by his blood we have been brought together. He has purged us. He has cleansed us. He has sanctified us. He has refined us. He has purified us. He's put us through the threshing floor. I've been thinking about that a lot since the other day, Miss Renee. The Holy Spirit comes and binds us together by the Spirit of love and all these kind of things. It's just, but he's knitting and joining us. And we're called to fit together.
Amen. Amen.
And when we do this, we become a habitation of the Spirit of God. Not a visitation. We're not looking for a visitation. It says a habitation
of the
Spirit of God. He's making for himself a bride that can house his presence.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. And he has to have that vessel in order to do it. So if the body of Messiah, and you know, you fit different, you know, he said he places each in the body as he sees fit. So, I mean, I don't think everybody fits at your church, but you fit somewhere. God has somewhere, a local body somewhere for you to go and connect with people. So I think it's so important to be connected, to be, and you need to be somewhere where you're able to be fed and you're able to pour out to others and you're able to be in unity. You know, if you don't have unity in a body, the enemy will work on every level. The unity, it's like an orchestra. When you go to a beautiful, whatever you call it, where there's an orchestra, like you might go out and they're going to do a symphony, each person in that, whether it's the violin or, you know, whatever it is that they might, they're all working together. If you've got one person that's out of tune or doesn't know when to chime in, that person will cause the whole thing to make it have no beauty. And so God has called each one of us to be knitted and fitted together by love. But unity has to be the core. When you've got something that's not unified and it's in disunity, then it does more harm than it does good.
But I think we should push that a little farther, because actually I had this exact thought yesterday, what you were talking about, like the Lord started bringing some things to unity to mind. And it's got to be not unity at the cost of compromise.
Amen.
It's unity in one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, as the Bible tells
us. Amen.
And I'm not getting into, like, I'm not wanting that to be about modalism or anything like that. Or I'm saying we have truth. And we are unified in truth.
Amen.
And that's where I think the true body of Christ, the remnant of Christ, the remnant of God's rising up in the earth, and they're unified in oneness.
Amen.
It's one mind. Whose mind? Mind of Christ. Mm. It's one baptism. What baptism? The baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. One faith. What's that? Mm. Faith in Christ Jesus alone. There's no other way to the Father. We're eliminating all other ways. We're eliminating our own self-righteousness, all that. It's one faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, and in his mission for the place. Like, I think that's the thing, is when there's different agendas. I see what you're talking about, Miss Renee, with the enemy working on so many different levels when there's so many different motives or agendas that's being pushed. But, like, we got to get to the kingdom agenda.
Where it's about him. It's
about him. And we say all the time, we confess it with our mouth, but do we really want it? Or do we really walk it out? And, I mean, I think most churches struggle with this unity, would you say?
Yes. Marriages, friendships, whatever it is. If you're not in unity, then you're pulling. It's like you're pulling against each other rather than pulling with each other.
I love what Jeremiah Embry, we at our last young adult, or I don't know if it was our last, but one of them, he said, we were talking about unity in the body, and he said, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Wow, that's good. That's so good. That's so good.
And that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're called to be in unity, we truly are really only as strong as our weakest person. Mm-hmm. And if that weakness is gossip, slandering, backbiting, greed, you know, whatever you name it, like, that is an open door for the enemy.
Yes.
To come in. And I think it's hard for, I mean, I think we really need to be, continue to be intentional about praying about these things. Like, what if we prayed, Lord, expose our weaknesses so that we can, that they may be healed and we may grow from them.
Amen.
Let us be, bring, let us have strength in the areas that our weakest member is struggling with. Like, and I don't know, I think we forget that principle. Because if we're all one and we're all connected, we're all supposed to be unified, then that's true.
You see, like in the Genesis, when they're building the Tower of Babel, unity can be used on the dark side or it can be used on God's
side.
Yeah,
I thought about that.
And when
too.
They're building the Tower of Babel, they're unified. God says there's not anything they can't do. So he comes down and divides them, if you will, and he causes their languages and they're not able to communicate. Then you go over to the book of Acts and they're in an upper room, and the same God that separated them through language gathers them back together through the language of the Holy Spirit in that upper room,
so
the 120. So I believe when we're unified under the power of the cross, then we're able to all speak the same things. But when we're building our own agendas or our own tower or our own ways of what we think, then it causes, you know, God to have to scatter whatever we're doing. It causes division. So, you know, and it's really about the melting pot of the threshing floor or the refiner's fire in Malachi 3:1. Or, you know, Greg talked about the blacksmith last week and how that, you know, the blacksmith would take whatever instrument he was using and he'd put it in the fire. Well, I went home and I was so intrigued by it. I taught on it Sunday. I did some study on that. I said, that'll preach, Greg. And it was really good because the forge is this place that it has to heat up. And I think it was like to 2,500 degrees that the blacksmith would take huge tongs and take a piece of metal and put it in the fire, and he would heat it up so that it would become pliable. God's trying to bring the body of Christ so we were pliable, pliable to his ways, pliable to his kingdom. You know, you take two people in a marriage and both of them are stiff-necked and they don't love each other in the sense that they want to go God's way. They're not pliable. When God takes them through that fire makes them pliable to where God can bend and shape. That's what he did in my marriage. He bent and shaped my heart and my husband's heart one to another to where when we were enemies, we're now best friends. Mm. And it takes a fire. It takes whatever you're going through for God to be able to hammer out those places and to twist and to turn to make us into the vessels that bring honor to him, glory and honor to his kingdom.
Amen. So good.
Wow.
Amen.
And you know, there's a really good way to bring us into unity. And I found this out.
How's that?
The word.
Amen.
I taught on this last night a little bit, and I got a little bit more preaching than teaching last night in Revelation 13. It's a burden in my heart of just how the church is in disunity because we're not in unity under the word.
Mm.
We have given ourselves to other things than the word of God. And I feel like that, even the threshing floor, you want to get on the threshing floor, get under the word of God, and
Amen.
Boy, it will cut it. I remember like being 18 and just getting born again. And I started to read my Bible every night and I would read it and you're like, ow, like, that hurt. Like I'm not supposed to hate my enemies. I'm not supposed to go after revenge. I'm supposed to love. I've got to walk in kindness. I'm supposed to walk in humility. I'm supposed to walk in all these things. And how many times I've heard the body of Christ in multiple settings and multiple conversations with people in the church. it's like we stopped caring what the word said. Like, it's literally like, I've heard the words. Well, I don't know if the word says it or not. I just believe it. And I'm like, why are we believing stuff the Bible's not saying? And why are we following things the Bible's not saying? And if I really want to, if me and Ethan and Hannah and Heather and Jeremiah and Sarah, we need to walk in unity on something, what do we have to have? The common truth.
Amen.
The common ground.
You can't have unity without truth. That's good. Yeah.
And what Amen. We're trying to do in the body of Christ is trying to walk together emotionally.
Ooh, that's so good. And so when the emotions is off, okay. Yeah, that's good.
So when the Sunday morning stops burning.
Oh, wow.
And the worship's not kicking and the shouting's not necessarily going, we
Ooh,
lose unity
on.
Because we were only bonded by affection.
Oh, my goodness.
Not by truth.
That's so good.
And I feel like the body of Christ has to go, yes, community is a part of it. Yes, affection for each other is part of it. Unity and shouts, absolutely. But there's a greater unity than all of that will bond us, and that is truth. And the truth is the thing that will bond us in the spirit of love for each other. And love keeps us coming back and fighting for each other and going each other. But the way we stay in unity is we dress ourselves in truth. Because if we try to go to the wedding feast absent of the wedding garment, we'll be kicked out. And
wow.
The only way we can get into the garment is to actually walk in the truth of the word of God and to be dressed in Christ. And the only way we put on Christ is to know him. And how do we know him? Through the Spirit that has wrote us a book that by 40 different authors over 2,000 years, 66 different books, he said, I will bring to remembrance the words he taught you, and you will write them.
And where's our burning passion? David Paulson, which I think he was British. I love his stuff. He's just was a wonderful man of God. But he talked about how that the Word of God is God's love letter to his bride.
Mm-hmm.
It's his love letter. Where's our burning passion for Messiah? You know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? First, we have to agree with God. Before we even agree with each other, we have to be in agreement mm-hmm. with what God says in his holy word. My grandkids are being homeschooled. This is their first year. It's kind of different. But so Nana's going to do Bible with them. And I sat there and I told them, I said, God's word is a treasure map. I said, it's a treasure map and it will lead you to success. God gives you power to get wealth. God shows you how to live upright. I said, if you want to succeed in this life, the place to get there, how to get there, is through this treasure map. Because I wanted them to see God's words are not just about commandments or laws or do this or do that. It is God's blueprint. You know, when Noah built an ark and he was preaching to those that are already condemned because they weren't listening to God and their hearts had turned away to evil, Noah built the ark according to God's instruction, and it withstood the flood that was to come. Well, we know that God will not destroy the earth by water, but yet it's coming by fire. We know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So if we truly believe that God is worthy of our service, then we'll honor his word. He honors his word even above his name. His word is forever settled in heaven. And it says, my word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when I think about that hand, I see this little handmaiden and she's walking through a dark place and she's got this lantern and she doesn't know where to go. And so the lantern is set in front of her and it causes the path to be made shown to her. And so, you know, when like being a mother and you just don't know what to do with your children, or a dad has lost his job, or maybe your spouse says they don't love you anymore. We're going on all kinds of different trails, aren't we? But you don't know. Come on, let's put it down. Like, you wake up today and you don't know which way to go. Maybe you've lost somebody or you've lost everything. Maybe you've lost everything. There are some people that are losing everything right now and they don't know where to turn. But I'm telling you, God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. We're not just saying this stuff. I'm telling you, I have found the God that will meet you in the dark night of the soul. I have wrestled in my bed at night, not knowing what I was going to do about a situation. And I would say, but God, in some way, somehow, his word
would be illuminated in my darkness, and I would see it. It would be like it would be life that would come off the pages, and he would revive me and take me to the next level. And it's so funny because on my way down here, I'm listening to a podcast. And, you know, we all go through things that we can't always share, either on radio or different stuff. And I said, God, what do people do that don't have you? Where do they go? Like, I can be having a rough day, and I can go listen to a preaching sermon like Adrian Rogers yesterday. I just turned him on, and I'm listening, and I'm cleaning my cabinets, and it's building me up, you know, building me up. And I think about the 35 years that I have served God, and I almost lost my marriage, and God restored it. My children, God is bringing my children into the kingdom. It's not all been glamour and all been just red roses. It's been a lot of dark nights. There were times I didn't want to go to church, or I didn't want to keep leading a church, me and my husband. It's not always easy. But it is endurance, and it's just trusting the God that will meet you. He will, if you just go to that word and you open it up, yes, and you say, Holy Spirit, I'm so lost, but I'm asking to be found. I am so broken, uh-huh, but I'm asking to be made whole. Will you come and let your word refine me and guide me, yes, and lead me and fill me? He will be like a spring of living water that will just gush up out of you, Hannah. And out of your darkness comes truth. Out of your brokenness comes healing. And then you look back and say, if it had not been for the Lord, where would I have been? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what his word is to it. It's just, you know, and if you're tuning in today, we just pray, Father God, yes, we pray for those that are just lost. We pray for those that feel so abandoned and so alone. And maybe that's you today. You feel like you couldn't buy a friend if you had the wherefore to do it. Maybe you feel isolated and you feel alone. I pray that the Spirit of the living God would touch you right where you're at, and that God, through his word, through this treasure map, this love letter to his bride, that he would guide you into paths of righteousness, yes, for his name's sake, that he would take you out of the dark place and put you into the light. I pray that he will break forth upon you with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that God would find you right where you're at, man, woman of God, that maybe you just gave away your inheritance in God for that one what you thought was going to bring you joy, and you're sitting in a place of darkness. Pick up the word of God. Pick it up and just say, God, I want you to meet me where I'm at. Meet me in my brokenness and revive me and restore my soul unto righteousness that I might live. I'm telling you, there's no pit so deep that our God is not deeper still. Even in a prison camp in Ravensbrook, a little bitty Bible that Corrie Ten Boom was able to get past the guard, she took it into the barrack. There were those women, and the guards would not come in because it had lice in there. And so at night, Corrie would read to these women that did not know where their life was going. And she would read this little Bible, and the pages would become such enduring words to people that had been taken away from everything. And they were in a place they didn't know what their day was going to be, their number was going to be called, whether they were going to be raped or beaten. They had no idea. But somehow or another, God brought light into a hellhole, and he changed and transformed those women. And God can do that for you. Maybe you're not in a Ravensbrook, and maybe you're not in a place like that, but maybe you are in a place of darkness, sitting right there in the middle of so many people around you, but you're so depressed and you're so lonely. This word will transform you by the power of his Holy Spirit. His light will shine in your darkness, and he will give you, woman of God, the next day and the next day. He will give you man of God. He will give you wisdom on how to feed your children and how to work and be a better husband. The word is what's going to transform you. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God, so Holy Spirit, manifest your glory all over this airway today. In the car, in the home, on their job, listening, Father God, in any way, just manifest the presence of the living God. And I'm asking for lives to be completely transformed in a second, that they will go from light, from darkness to light, from unsaved to saved, that they will find you in the middle of their storm, and that you will give them what they need, the tools to make their way straight where it's been crooked. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know. We just went to prayer. Amen. Praise God.
Intercession this morning.
Praise God.
Amen.
I felt that.
Yeah, if that was for you today and you know the Lord is moving on your heart, we would love to connect with you and talk with you. 270-257-2689 is the number to the station. And it's not a we don't want to be a radio station that just, you know, is on the air for the sake of you all to listen. We want to walk this walk with you. And we want to serve and love and continue to pray with you and continue to see the Lord move in tremendous ways. And so connect and be a part. That's one thing that the Lord's really dealt with me a lot lately is I don't like the concept of platforms. And I'm not like followings, you know, like you ever think about that with these social media preachers, they have millions of people following them and they don't know one of them.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I don't want to have 100 people listening every morning and not know you. Like I think that's the beautiful thing of the body of Christ is that like that we do life together. It's like the unity that we've been talking about, like,
and breaking bread.
Yeah.
Breaking bread.
Yeah. And so contact us, be a part of the Box 2 Radio family. And that's why we always say good morning family or family of God, is that we don't see you as listeners who are spectating and just you're our audience. We see you as the family, and this is family time, getting to hang out. And if that's you and the Lord's dealing with your heart, we'd love to pray deeper with you and fellowship with you and really encourage you. And so 270-257-2689 is the number you can call, or 270-230-6337 is the number you can text. Amen.
Amen. You know, as you were praying, I was thinking about, you know, just that person that's in darkness, how I've been in darkness before. And I was just thinking about how it's so natural for us to give ourselves, like we give ourselves fully to these things, and that's what leads us into darkness, is we've given ourselves, wow. We've given our whole heart, we've given our whole our treasure, you know, that where your heart is, your treasure is there also. We've given our time, we just give ourselves to things, but then we get hurt because we were only ever meant to give ourselves to one.
Oh, that is
and
so
that's
good.
Jesus, because he's so the good. Only one who will never, he will never leave us or forsake us. He will never abuse us, use us. All of the things that have happened each time that we've tried a new person or tried a new thing. We've tried this addiction. We've tried this job. We've tried this. And it's always giving ourselves to it. But what if we would give our whole selves to Jesus, to his word? You know, and,
wow,
and
that's
I was just
beautiful.
I was just thinking about that because, you know, I think a lot of people probably tuned in. You've heard the word. You've heard about Jesus, you've heard, you know, but it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to be a doer and to walk it out and not just try it, but really give your whole self to it. And we've heard testimony after testimony of people who kind of tried it but then went right back to that brokenness. But I love Brother Jeremy McManaway, his testimony. He said he had to come to the end of himself. He
wow.
had to come to the end of Jeremy, and he decided that the Holy Spirit showed him, like, you have to give me everything.
Mm.
Because all of these things that you're holding on to, they belong to me anyway.
Wow.
And, you know, I love that testimony. But I don't know. I was just thinking about that, thinking about You know, even the woman at the well, she had given herself, she had tried so many different, you know, marriages, and none of it could satisfy until she met the one at the well, you know.
Wow.
And there's so many testimonies and stories throughout the Word. And I don't know, I think sometimes we say that, and Miss Karen says this a lot when she's on Tuesdays, but we say that, you know, we tried it and it didn't work out, but we didn't really give our whole self to it. Like, we give our whole self to everything else.
Wow, and so that's good.
Hopefully that can help somebody today, because when he gave us everything, and he just requires us to give him everything. He doesn't require us to be qualified or be even perfect. He just says, give
yield
me
and
you.
Surrender.
Yield mm-hmm. to me. Surrender yeah. to me. Give, you know, we are slaves to righteousness. So a slave is bought.
Yes.
You
amen.
Know, he bought us with a great price. And, you know, a slave can't sell half of themselves. They can't have half of themselves be bought by their master. It's
amen.
The whole self. So.
Amen. That is so good. That's so good. You know, too, it goes back to the sower sowed the word. You just tell him about that man's testimony. And he said it was not until he fully surrendered and was broken. I think the soil of our heart is so important, because you can see the different thing. I mean, it wasn't a problem with the seed. It was a problem with the soil. It was mm-hmm. a problem with the heart.
Yeah.
And you see people, and I know you've seen that, Aaron, they come in, they're all fired up for God, and the next thing you know, they're gone. You're going, where is everybody? You know, and it really has to do with the temperance of the heart. It's like, God, make me a vessel. Make me a vessel for you. For you, break up the fallow ground of my heart. Break it up inside of me that my heart is able to receive the content of your kingdom. Lord, what is it in me that's not adapting to you well? What is it in me that's struggling to walk with you? Because, you know, it said when the seed went on hard ground and, you know, tribulations come or this springs up or whatever. I can't remember exactly the analogy of each one of them, but it was just life happened, mm-hmm. life. But it was the one that had the good soil that the seed took. And so when our hearts are really broken up, when it's that brokenness and coming to God and surrendering on that floor, maybe you need to just weep on that floor. You know, my grandfather was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic all the way up till 6 months before he died. It was a horrible alcoholic. And I remember that God had given me a dream that my grandfather, he wanted him to be saved. And I didn't really have a really great relationship with him. My grandfather had did some pretty bad things. I'm talking some really bad things. And caused some harm in his life. And because he did it, he drinked himself out of pain. It was just like, and you know, maybe you're tuning in today and you're like, you don't understand. I keep doing this because what I've done is so bad. But there's nothing so bad that God's not so great in. Amen. But I remember God gave me this dream, and I went to my grandfather, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I said, Papa, God gave me a dream, and in the dream, Jesus wanted you to be saved. And he said, oh, I could never be saved. I've been so bad. And I said, I'm telling you, God gave me the dream. He wants you to be saved. And my grandfather would find out 2 weeks later that he was eat up with cancer. And the story was told that he went behind his house and spent about 3 hours up in the woods and wept before a living God. My grandfather had the most foulest mouth of any man that I ever knew. And for the next 6 months, he would never say another cuss word. He would be the kindest, most gentle soul that you had met. He died at 63 pounds, but he died in Messiah. And God so loved him, because what he had did was pretty bad. And I think he'd lived in shame and guilt his whole life. And, you know, when the woman at the well, what we talked about this one day, I'm just weepy today. What impressed me about that story was two parts. Jesus had need to go to her. I mean, he could have went everywhere and had crowds, but he had need to depart from everything and go see this one woman.
God had me to go to my grandfather, and he used me to go to this man. Nobody cared about this man. If anything, his reputation was horrible, what he did. But Jesus had need to go to him. The woman came at the noon of day carrying a water pot at the hottest part of the day because her life was filled with shame. The other women didn't want to carry a pot with her. They didn't want to talk to her around the well. She was isolated and alone in her sin. This is why it's a love letter to me. Is he comes to the most broken people, and he will save you if you will only surrender, like Hannah says. You've give yourself to everything else. Why not him? Mm-hmm. Why not him? And so my grandfather left his sin up there in the woods that day, and he was never the same for a good way. That day it says, and she left her water pot. Mm-hmm. Her water pot represented everything she had done wrong in her life. And she went from shame to a bold testimony. God took the worst person of that town, mm-hmm, with the most worst reputation to carry the greatest news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. What if you say, but you don't understand, Miss Renee, Aaron, Hannah, my life's so bad. Do you understand? You're the very person Yeshua would want to use. You would have the most magnitude to your family and your community. What if you just stopped doing like what Hannah said and you gave Jesus everything? What if you became the person that God has longed to touch in such a deep way, and your surrender would mean the deliverance of so many? Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
There's no shame in the tears. The Lord showed me one time, and I don't have scripture for this, but it talks about intercession and when we talk about breaking up the fallow ground. Whenever I do pray deeply in the spirit, I weep. I mean, I'm telling you, the tears don't stop running. And I felt like the Lord, in Revelation, it does talk about the tears of the saints. And I felt like the Lord showed me that tears are softening up that fallow ground.
Wow.
So like the tears of intercession are, it's water that brings softening to hearts, to hard hearts. And so he just showed me that it's through the tears of crying out on the behalf his on for his will to be done, crying out in compassion for others, that softens. He uses that to soften hearts.
When Israel was going to war, God would send, you would think, send your strongest military giants ahead. And God says, no, send Jehoshaphat so they can worship. Send the tribe of Judah. Send them to worship. Go ahead of the battle. And so I think when we just take time to put on soft worship, put on music, and get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, saturate me with your anointing. Saturate me with your joy. Saturate me with the power of your kingdom. Lord, I'm sitting here in darkness and I'm sitting here broken, but I'm asking you to come to me in great power and great glory, and I'm asking you to change my life.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to our hard break here, and then we're going to come back in here and keep moving forward with this, because I feel like the Lord is, we'll see what the Lord's going to do in life and where we're going to go next, but I feel like there's such a weightiness to the moment. Last night, teaching Revelation, I kept trying to I felt that same burden and weightiness. And there's a couple times I had to apologize for my, I was kind of getting really emotional. And I don't get emotional too often, but it was like I just felt the weight of it, of what's going on. And I think there's such a seriousness to the moment. I don't know how to explain it. There seems to be a seriousness and a weightiness to the moment that we're in. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing or wooing you in this moment, now is the time to receive. Now is the time to surrender. Now is the time to give yourself to Him. No matter where you've been, what you've done, and who you've done it with, His grace is sufficient. His blood is able to wash away every sin. He's able to cleanse you by the precious blood of the Lamb. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day that we count the cost of the tower.
Wow.
And say, I will freely follow you.
Amen.
I'm all in. You Amen. Cannot, as Hannah just said, you cannot try Jesus. You cannot test him out. He's not somebody you do a trial run on. If you got a trial run Jesus, then you got a Jesus that's not real. That's not the Jesus that we serve. Because when you meet him, you count the cost. And you say, this is the cost of the tower, and we will pay every penny. Not saying we earn salvation or pay for it. It's saying this, I will follow. I will follow. Because Jesus is not trying to make converts. Jesus is actually making disciples. Amen. All righty. What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break. Amen, amen, amen in the house of the studio of the Lord. We want to, in the studio of the Lord, we'll go with that. We don't have an answer yet for the trivia question. What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? And no surprise to be found in Philippians. And so Miss Hannah had to step out for a little while for her. She has a Bible class over there on Thursday morning. And so she's helping out in the school for this little section. So it's just me and Miss Renee here. And but just a powerful morning. And if you are needing prayer for anything, please don't hesitate to reach out. We would love to pray with you and pray for you and believe God for the impossible. Because I feel like that's one thing that that's reoccurring to me quite often here recently, Miss Renee, is would you care to shut that door all the way so they don't hear the trans? Thank you so much. Is really just the becoming a praying church, like as a people of prayer, but also not just praying for the sake of religious duty, but praying, believing that nothing is impossible for our God. Like praying in that faith that is saying nothing is impossible. Because I know in my own life is, and I don't know if you've ever done this, Renee, Miss Renee, you may have never done it. I definitely have. I prayed for something and then that thought comes back. Oh, I hope that happens. You know, and I'm just like, you have to arrest that thought and bring into obedience of Christ. And I want to get back to where I'm a person, we're a people, we are the body that believes what's impossible with man is possible with our God, and nothing is impossible for Yahweh. Nothing is impossible for the one who hung the stars and who hung the moon and flung the stars, the one who told the ocean, you stop here, the mountain, you go this high. Nothing is too big for our God.
I think a lot of it, too, comes from, like, intimacy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our faith, we can have faith, a mental capacity of faith. Yes, the Word says it. I'm going to believe it. That settles it. But it's like, you know my husband. I know him. And I know he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's how I trust him, because I am intimate. I have a lifelong relationship with my husband. I see him every day. He's my friend, my best friend, the father of my children. I know his ways. And I think so often we struggle a lot because we just don't have the deep intimacy with God. Yes, we do want to pray. We want to pray for needs and we want to pray for different people's problems, but I think the more we get intimate with God, that's what the Apostle Paul, he come to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, and he said he counted it all dung to know Messiah. I mean, to really know him, and we do that through worship. You know, I was saying before the break about how Jehoshaphat sent out the worshipers, you know, and it says in 2 Chronicles 2:21, I'm so impressed by this because, like I said, we would send out the military giants, the generals ahead. But God's kingdom's upside down. The very thing we would do, God would probably do the opposite of. And it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. It's like you're saying, we're going to battle, okay? And we're going to go to war against this great army. And Aaron tells the elders, okay, I feel that God wants us to sing. And they're going, are you kidding me? You want us to sing? But the reason that God wanted them to sing, it was intimacy. It was to bring heaven into their sphere of earth, to bring God into the battle. You know, the enemy would say, you don't have time for all that. You don't have time to sit alone with the Lord. You can't afford not to sit alone with him. You can't afford not. That's what you're finding out. You men are finding out, spending this time, like these disciplines, they're not for the sake of discipline. You are on a pursuit to make God more center in your life. And by doing that, you're seeing and reaping benefits by doing it. He says, sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. God sent worshipers at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. And I think the greatest thing that we can do is to stop all the clamoring of noise in our head and to sit in a recliner, get on our face, put some worship on. And because the enemy wants you to be anxious and he wants you to figure out how you're going to do it all. But you just do just like Jehoshaphat and you say, God, I'm going to worship until you show me what to do. I'm not going to move until you give me strategy for the battle.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Amen.
So good. And you know, the Bible talks about he inhabits the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. But a word that could translate very easily to is he is enthroned upon the praises of his
Ooh.
People. Because where his people begin to praise, there's a place he can set his throne.
Oh,
there's
yes.
a place
Come
he
on.
Can bring his government. There's a place where the kingdom of God can invade the kingdom of this earth. And that's a place where his power and his culture is manifested. His glory is residing. And that's when we praise. Praise is not something you do with the first two songs of a worship service because they're faster.
Yeah.
Praise is what we give him. It's
Amen.
What it's our life. It's our words. It's our song. It's our declaration. It's our faith. Everything that we do, it's to praise ye the Lord. Tambourines, clapping. There's all these types of different praises, but where we praise him, especially in the bad times,
wow.
especially in the times you don't feel like a praise is in your mouth, especially those times you feel like I would much rather be an Elijah in a cave and kind of pouting a little bit, like, I want to do that. But when you open your mouth and you begin to praise, I believe he's looking to and fro.
And you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so if you're listening today, you're going, you don't understand. My life is on fire. You want me to worship. But when you worship, you are giving God the place into that battle that only he can do what he can do. You can't fix it. When you worship, just like Aaron's saying, you're allowing God to come and sit in the seat of your trouble and bring deliverance to your family, to your children. But in that, we're blessed. In that, we're blessed. Remember when Saul, God sends Samuel to anoint Saul, but Saul's so busy looking for his father's, what was it, goat, sheep? I don't remember what it was, one of the animals. And so he's out looking for that. And so they say, go see the seer. And when he gets there, he says, break bread with me. He wanted him to have a fellowship meal. And so by doing that and walking in obedience, it gives Saul the answer that later, oh, by the way, you can find them here or here. See, when we take that time to fellowship with God, or we just say, God, I trust you. I mean, everything in you is pulling to go get it fixed and get it done. But when you get into that presence, you will never come up short when you make God the center of your battle. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's good.
You know, when my when my dad was passing away in the hospital, he was in the room.
I didn't know your dad was gone.
Yeah, he's 2019. And when he passed away in the hospital, we were sitting there, and he was really struggling to breathe. It was kind of like starting to be a little rougher passing. And I remember my mom and my sister was in the room, and it was only us three. And I can't sing, like, but I did.
Oh.
And I remember just starting to sing to the Lord, and you could feel the peace of God just coming
wow.
in the room. You could just feel the peace of God coming in the room. And I think that's a marker that when we lift our voice, when we sing praises unto the King, it doesn't have to be
excellent in sound. It doesn't have to be profound with pitch or harmony. Just when we release our heart to Him. Mm. And there was that's what shifts the atmosphere. Worship begins to shift atmosphere.
That's a good right there. Come on.
It's saying, no, as you just said a minute ago, like, He's sitting down here.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to make you a seat to sit here with my praise. And I'm going to let you do what you can do alone, and I'm moving out of the way, and I'm just going to worship and to sing praises. When Abraham was going to go with Isaac, he said, we're going yonder to worship. Now, in his worship, that's going to be, he was going to fully ready to sacrifice. But sometimes you opening your mouth is a sacrifice of worship.
Wow.
Sometimes you singing praise in the midst of everything falling apart is sacrifice. And
I love that, because he said, let me and the lad shall go up to worship. And his worship was an act of obedience. Uh-huh. And that can be through your mouth or whatever God's calling you to do. But see, because Abraham didn't know there was going to be a ram in the thicket.
No, he did not.
See, what we're saying is a total surrender to God when you don't even know what the outcome's going to look like. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know how God's going to fix it, but you just know He's the fixer.
Yeah.
You know He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's Yahweh Sabaoth. He's the Lord of armies. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God that is your peace. He doesn't just bring you peace, but He gives you peace. And so we find that in our places of brokenness. We find that on the threshing floor. It just makes me want to go home and put my worship on and to lay on my face, because, you know, we can't fix it, Aaron. You can look at things that are going on with your family. And yes, we do have to get up. And yes, we do have to put our feet to our praise. We have to do things. But I think so often we're so quick to run to the battle and fix it. Run to the battle. Jehoshaphat had an army, but he sent worshipers before, because he knew that exalting God was going to bring Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, into the midst of a natural army. And, you know, I love that. God has an army, and it's an angels that are sent on behalf to administer whatever we need. They're for us. God gives angels. He dispatches angels for protection. He dispatches angels to war over us. And so I am so grateful that as we worship, God will do that. But it's just not about words. It's not about the song. It's not about being in tune. It really is the heart connection. It is intimacy. Pastor, when is the last time that you just shut the door to your office and you just said, I don't care what you do with this church, God. I'm going to worship you or die. When is the last time that you just said, I'm done. If God don't move, I can't do another thing. Mom, Dad, when is the last time that you just shut the door to trouble in your home and laid on your face in that living room floor and said, God, I will worship you or die. I'm going to praise you. I see the trouble around my life, but I'm choosing to worship in the middle of the storm. I love that song, in the middle of the storm, I will praise you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 84 comes to mind here. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And I love what he says in verse 2. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. So he's talking about his soul here. And then he says, and my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. When your heart and flesh comes into alignment with your soul.
Wow.
And now you are not just becoming one outside with everybody else. You're actually becoming unity within yourself. And when we sing to the Lord in the midst of hard times, in the midst of troubles, your soul, most of the time, is wanting to go after the Lord. That spiritual thing inside of you, he's like, I need the Lord. But so often our flesh wants to rebel.
Mm.
And Paul talks about this war that's going on. And whenever you're going through those hard, difficult seasons, or even just walking through life as normal, there's that inner man of you who knows Christ, who wants to serve Christ, who wants to love Christ, who wants to trust Christ, and this flesh wants to rebel.
Mm.
And that heart wants to go this way. But he's like, here in Psalm 84, he's talking about his soul that's so hungry for the secret place, because how lovely is the dwelling place of the Lord. But then he says his heart and his flesh come into alignment and sing. And now he's in total agreement that I just want him.
Amen. You know, I think sometimes, and I'm not against any secular, I'm not against any music per se that brings an upbeat in the Christian faith or, you know, you like to mow the yard with. I just think that in church or in this time of worship, there's a different rhythm to a different beat and a different song. You know, singing songs like Worthy is the Lamb, songs that talk about who He is. Because I already know who I am, Aaron. I already know what I can do. I already know my limitations. This place of worship that Aaron and I are talking about is a level of worship of calling upon who He is. Magnifying the Lord, magnifying His majesty. You know, when Isaiah saw the Lord and His train filled the temple, it made Isaiah feel unclean, and God took the coals off the altar and cleansed his lips. In that place of where you see how great God is, it truly shows you the estimation of where you are and what God needs to do in your life. So, you know, I'm not against any songs. There's a lot of songs that are really fun to sing and kind of get you all upbeat, want to exercise to, that are good Christian artists. But I find those songs will not lead a church into a place of deep intimacy. You know what I'm saying? There, I heard recently, I think it was David Jeremiah, somebody sent a teaching by David Jeremiah, like some of the songs that we're singing in churches are more self-based, more about the flesh, about my brokenness, about me. And yes, that's true. We're broken. And yes, God will come to our brokenness, but I've got to sing about Him who is greater than my brokenness. And I mean, where are those songs that magnify the majesty of who God is? I remember there was a time, even in the 90s, when worship was starting to come in. There was such a beauty in worship and praise when God was moving the charismatic movement to more of an intimacy that, like Hosanna Integrity, that I'm not even seeing today. And I believe it forged us, if you will, as a body, into knowing the heart of God. Every dispensation that we've got healing, we've got deliverance, whatever it was, God has now been giving us His heart. And that's what He wanted to give us in worship. Amen. Yeah.
And you know, I feel like the worship culture unintentionally, I don't even think it meant to be at first, but I think it's become very entertainment driven.
Oh, you're putting words to what
I'm
trying to say.
And so I think there is an entertainment factor that's been birthed because people found out that there's a lot of money to be made in worship music and people are seeing that.
Amen.
But I think there's a deeper thing too. I think, and let me be fair to this too. I think there's some songs that are like gospel songs. Like you can sing to those who are far from Him and they're almost preaching the gospel to them.
Amen.
But those songs are not necessarily the worship songs of the adoration of the King.
Yeah.
Like, and so you have to really, as worship leaders, make sure you're seeking the Lord for what songs to sing and the purpose of why you're singing them, the intent of why you're singing them. Maybe there is a gospel day just where you're like, man, we're going after souls today. We're in a crusade. We're in this. And those songs may be more applicable at that moment. So I want to be fair in there, but I do think there is unfortunately, a very entertainment-driven type cycle
that's
permeated our worship system. But I do love that you said this, because this is where I was going to go. You said songs that magnify. And one thing I always think we forget a little bit is Mary's magnifying.
She magnified the Lord. Amen.
And song.
Wow. Amen.
Like, you know, in Luke 1:46-50, 55, when Mary said, that wasn't her just saying it. She sang it.
Amen.
And I know that there's been times in my life that when I'm by myself, I just sing unto the Lord. I sing praises, but it's like Mary is magnifying the Lord with this song.
Wow.
And I don't want to forget that there's songs all throughout the Bible.
Amen.
Where we sing.
Is it okay if I read something somebody has sent us that's listening? It says, praise is the act of expressing thanks and gratitude for what someone has done, while worship is a deeper act of reverence and adoration focused on who someone is. This is so good. Rather than what they have done. The key difference is that praise is an outward expression and verbal acknowledgement of the deeds, where worship involves the inward posture of the heart, humility and submission to a superior power or being. All praise can be seen as a form of worship, but worship is a more profound relational concept that involves offering oneself to the divine. That's good.
Amen. Very good. I love that.
That's good.
I love that. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to get Pastor Wayne and Brother Jacob in the house with us. Father Son Duo is going to be with us for this last
episode. Wow, I'm excited.
I'm very excited for this. I've been waiting. We was going to do this a little while ago, and unfortunately we had to reschedule, and so we got him in the house, and I can't wait to get him back here and just let them loose and see what God does. Amen.
Wow, I'm excited.
We're going to take a quick break here. Let me get us ready for break. Let's see here. What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? We still got to get this trivia answered. What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? We'll be right back here after the break. Right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We do have an answer for that trivia question. Brother Steve got it right. He said, Brother Steve has won more trivia things than anybody we know. What is Paul's prayer on behalf of the Philippians? That your love may bound yet more and more. Amen. So Pastor Wayne's in the house again with us. And then his son. Is this first time, Jake?
I think this is.
Man, it's good to have you. It's so good to have you. And I know God's doing some amazing things there. How did last night go?
It was really a now word. I'll tell you what, Brother Kent just brought an incredible word, and a word that I had never really heard the way that he had brought it out. Talking about rending the garments and how that the high priest, that was not upon him. But anyway, it went great. Went great.
I would have loved to have been there. I like Brother Kent quite a bit. You catch a lot of his stuff on internet and social media, and has some really strong words that he releases. So, amen. So how are things going? School year kicking off?
Yeah, it's been a busy start. I know when Hannah had asked us about coming over, we had to kind of look at the calendar. We have Hope Christian Academy over there in Litchfield. Yeah. And just so thankful to be a part of that, and thankful for Christian education here with Bethel as well, and just thankful to be a part of it, especially in the day that we live in.
Sure.
And it's much needed, so thankful for that.
Now, you are the principal, correct?
Yeah, principal administrator, and we've been there. We just started our 10th year.
Wow.
So that's kind of wild for us, and we're just thankful to be a part.
Congratulations, 10th year. That's a big year.
Yeah, it's big. And we felt when we started, we've been closed enrollment, and just to our church family, just to start small, grow, build a strong foundation. And we're thankful for that, and look to slowly, open the doors a little bit and bring some others in, as we grow. But it's been great. We've seen God do some great things, and just as I'm sure He's doing here at Bethel as well.
Amen, amen. I love Jake. I just remember, I was like a young one. I mean, we're not even that far apart from age, but I remember being, a few years older, but yet how many times at Evely, I saw him as a 5 and 6 year old kid just weeping at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it. Wow. I'll never forget it. Just weeping, and what God's doing in your life now is just, I praise God for.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, your sermon, I got to catch it a couple weeks. It was probably a couple months ago on a Sunday morning. You were on there, and you were talking about social media. You were talking about your phone and stuff, and I was like, man, that's it.
Yeah,
and so.
Yeah, I've got a couple points. If we get to that later, there was a really good book, Screens and Teens, that I think I had made reference to, and there was just some really good points in there the author brought out about lies that screens are teaching our kids these days and how to refute them. So,
Yeah, we're going to get to that because I think that's so pivotal and important for this day. But I love that we have the father-son, the father-son duo in here. And I would just love to hear from the father right now what it's like to see the Son coming?
Well, let me just say this, and I tell the church, you know, of course, Jake, he rotates in, you know, some, of course, he helps me pastor, or I help him pastor now. And the thing that I'm saying is this, and Jake's my pastor. And when I say that, that may seem really strange to some people, but Jake is much of my accountability, and to be able to have that in the house and to see that. And I, you know me, Aaron, I'm a weeper. It may put me to weeping, but to be able to see that and to see what God has done is really incredible. It's very, very humbling. I mean, very humbling. But to be able to surrender to Him as far as the school, you know, different things like that. But we share a lot of the load together. You know, and it's you know, what good's a trailblazer without somebody following the trail?
Come on.
Wow, that's
so
good.
You know, and the thing is what I find now is that the one that I carried many times is carrying me. And I mean that, and his insight is and I'm he won't want me to say any of this, but his insight and the relevance that he brings to the generation that he's come through, and he already knows that to many he's archaic in his belief, and you see him laugh right here, and the reason for that is that, you know, his belief and just his steadfastness in the Lord in a culture that just is allowing more and more, but to have that rigid yet pliable backbone,
yeah,
wow, that's
to
good.
Be able to stand and in that. So I'm humbled, and but he's a brother to me, you know, and so that's and like I said, that's what I tell the church. I said, y'all welcome my pastor. And so it's humbling.
Yeah. Well, I could have so many questions on this. But I do feel like it's – I know that when Hannah contacted you, it was a lot about the social media things. I do want to get to that because I think it's so important for that generation. And I know for me, I've been on, I guess at this point, probably about a three-month break. I've not been on social media, and I feel free. But I don't think we realize how much our phones are our modern-day addiction. Right. It's our escape.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's one of those things that when you really look into it, social media hits a part of the brain that releases a dopamine effect, so similar to a drug. And the reason that our kids are so addicted to it is because it's hitting that dopamine effect on the brain.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, and Dad and I talk about this often, our kids are putting themselves out there more and more. But also, the convicting part, you know, Pastor Aaron, is what are they seeing at home? And, you know, if they've got a question and... you know, your head's down, you know, as a parent, hang on, I'm scrolling. That's convicting. You know, what are we teaching? What are we modeling? And is that dopamine something that, you know, we're searching for as well? And so I think those things are really big. And then even in ministry, Dad and I have talked about this, that as ministers of the gospel, we have to be careful not to try to build our own platform. Try to be something that, well, I'm just in it for this. These clips that I watch or these clips that are maybe made from sermons and that sort of thing. When we look at it from a standpoint, you know, as a pastor now, you're competing with a 30-second sermon that someone got. And so
good.
If the attention spans, if you look at it as well, I know I'm kind of hitting a lot of different things, but TikTok is rewiring the brains for a 3 to 5 second interval. And so if I don't like it, I scroll to the next one. The problem is that's rewiring our kids' brains and even adults' brains where they don't even realize it, that I give you 3 to 5 seconds. If I don't like what you're saying, I switch you off. And we're dealing with that in church.
Absolutely.
Because now what people are looking at are those just, let's say, emphasis clips where every pastor has that, I'm driving this point home. Maybe it's that one point where, you know, Holy Spirit takes over and you're going deeper and deeper. And you get that on that 30 second, but the rest of the message maybe is more of that teaching moment. And they're lulled to sleep and not getting the background of maybe the scripture and surrounding things. So... it's really tough right now to balance.
You know, I think we have, And you talk about dopamine. Dopamine's the release of emotion to the brain. Serotonin hits more of the stomach. So if you get that queasiness in the stomach or that excitement, that's more of a serotonin shot, whereas dopamine's in the brain. But I feel like we almost have a dopamine addiction today. And it's the thing about dopamine is it's very temporal. So once you get it, it leaves as quick as it comes, and now you're looking for that chase again. And really the greatest underlying issue is we're not having something that produces eternal joy. We only know how to participate in temporal joy. And because we're not founded as the one who gives us that eternal joy.
Do you know, as when we talk about dopamine, we talk about serotonin, one of the things sometimes that's left out is oxytocin. And when you look and you study oxytocin, that just within the chemistry and the makeup of who we are, especially for the female, it's going to sound, just take this for what it is, but as far as nursing that child, oxytocin is what releases that. When we look at that, the oxytocin also, and what we're seeing in this, just study it. When you see this, you're going to find, and that's the reason so many of these kids cannot do without that. They're nursing themselves on a device. And so what they're saying, I'm connected, which we know this, that bonding between that mother and that child, but that oxytocin being released, of course, is what brings forth the nourishment, you know. And that's something that's in place. But when you study that out, this is something that is there. And it's part of these. There's those three. But when that comes, and that's the reason that it's an idol.
Yeah.
The same way that we've seen all throughout Israel's history. This is another one that people are nursing. And you've studied Diana. I'm not going to go any deeper in this, but you know that when you look at the idol of Diana, how that was, and absolutely, the way that the fertility and different things, and also the nursing side of that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that Paul said what he said there at Mars Hill. So anyway.
Can we go off of that, what you said? Yes. I think it feeds what Jake said a minute ago. You were talking about at home, kids are looking for their parents and their parents in the phone. Do you think the lack of affirmation from the parent is driving them to nurse off the phone?
I think so. I think you can look at it in a couple different ways, because the phone becomes an escape. And a lot of times I think when parents come home, they're looking for fulfillment in other things as well, and so the lack of them maybe getting that from their work, or getting that from maybe a spouse or things like that, then they'll look at superficial ways of and social media, and that's where, you know, oftentimes, you know, affairs start, and little things like this and that start, because they get different kinds of attention there. And then I do believe it's connected to the kids just seeking an affirmation from their parents, and they're not getting it there either.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it used to play, and I don't know, you could say that's, you know, this didn't happen at all, but you played quarterback for many years.
Yeah.
I got to listen to you on K105 not too long ago with a football game. But you played quarterback for many years. I'm sure there was games that you went home like, that was awful.
Yeah.
What did your dad do in those moments?
You know, it was kind of funny, because Dad, he actually coached me in junior pro, and was very foundational in, I think, building me as a player and as a person, even at a young age. And I knew that Dad would, in those moments, he would get real quiet, and he would, on the way home, maybe if I rode home, he'd say, "Do you want to talk about it?" And there was, I know, plays that, you know, we would run over, and he was really good about saying, "Yeah, you missed that one, didn't you? But you did do this good." And I think that is so formidable in the best coaches that I've ever had, and, you know, and a pastor and father that I've been able to have, is being able to look at the things that you did wrong, but also say, this is what, you know, you did right. Now, I know you can do better, and this is what I believe, you know, that you can do. And so there were times, and then he would grill me sometimes if he knew I was in my own head.
Sure.
And, you know, where was your head at? Where was,
you know, Aaron, of course, you have that background also, you know, great athlete yourself. And the thing is we're Jake, and this is something I think that is so relevant today, is that when he did play quarterback, the thing is, and you know what I mean by the read, mm-hmm. that when you've got the option, mm-hmm. and today I think that's one thing that we just think, here's the hole, we've got to read. And I think that's one thing that as he developed, but even now as an adult and as he pastors and preaches, there's a read.
Amen.
And see, this is the part that we are spiritual. God made us spiritual first before we were flesh. I mean, Jeremiah proves that. And in saying that, but to be able to read spiritually,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he's done that. And that he's got insight that I don't have. And he knows it. And he says, all right, Dad, he said, did you think about this? I said, oh man, you're reading that away. That is really good.
Yeah. But, I mean, and the reason I even bring that up is those moments in that car probably prepare for him those moments in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
because they're forming.
Yeah,
they're forming. And when a parent's not there forming and affirming and mm-hmm. parenting and training, something else will. And unfortunately, that's become the phone.
Yeah,
that's become social Amen. Media. It's become Amen. Alcohol or performance or success mm-hmm. instead of the dad.
I think one thing that I learned early in sports is, if you live for their applause, you will die by their criticism.
Wow.
It's 100% true. That's life. We talk about this a lot.
I want to read that. You know, Dad has, if you live for their applause, you will die by their criticism. And Dad has shared this with me early in ministry as a pastor. And, you know, Aaron, you know, as a pastor too, the one that maybe pats you on the back and says, great sermon, the next week you preach something that they don't like or agree with, and they're the ones maybe giving you a tough time. But I think what happens is today the social media has created a life where kids want to live for everyone's applause and their, quote, likes and views, and forget that, you know, the criticism is there too, and we can't live by that, especially
so good
following the word and preaching holiness, you know, that is so needed today.
Yeah. I love this. I love having father, dad, and father, son duo in here.
We're humbled to
which,
be here.
Which, you know, I think the world of these two, and Pastor Wayne and Brother Wayne was here for me just a few months ago in a hard time, and, I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't be in this seat right now if it wasn't for this man of God looking at me. I don't think I would. And thank you for that. I do. I'm trying to fight back tears on that one. But
is this the one you was telling me about? Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh.
I wouldn't. I was in such a place 3 or 4 months ago that I don't think I would be in the pulpit yesterday, Sunday morning, if it wasn't for Brother Wayne. Oh. I don't think I would have.
Very humble.
It's going to make me cry.
Yeah. And so I honor you for that. And you tremendously blessed a lot of lives, both of you guys have, and I just love to see what God's doing. And you know, Eli failed to raise up sons.
Oh, it's so big.
That's good.
So big.
And how many times do you have a ministry that was built by the hand of God, but a man was so wrapped up in his own pride, his arrogance, and his own thing that he failed to raise up sons and nobody to pass the mantle to. And I love to see this, because in any marathon where you have to pass the baton, there's a period of time when you both run opposite of each other, but there's a period of time when you run together.
Amen.
We need to understand, concerning mantles, that mantles are not measured by length, but rather by weight. The weight of the mantle, when others are flighty, it's the weighty that stay the course.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the reason the pressure, the down pressure of the mantle is so important. And, you know, Aaron, as we say this, you know, we stand in the shadow of some mighty men of God. Mm-hmm. Brother Ron Miller, others that, you know, my Brother Billy Lashley, different ones that I love so much, and different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the shadow of their mantle carries a weight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing today. So many are flighty because they don't understand the weight. And you know, you've studied that. That's the Kabbalah. That's the weight of His glory. And yet it's His glory that rests on us, not our glory that rests on Him.
Oh,
and I think
good.
So many pulpits, when you were talking about, I've got a watcher, I'll get carried away. But the thing that, when you were talking about platforms and different things, how many men and women of God have built their own platform only to find that they become the Haman in these days in which we live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the very demise that they expect for others becomes the very destruction of their own soul. All these things that you are talking about, and I'll hush when it comes to the feed, the follow, and all of these things. How many followers do you have? Where do you get your feed from? It is as close a deception of the enemy that I have that I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Fed, but no nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, come on.
Which for me goes all the way back to where we started. It terrifies me that we're living for Jesus for 30-second clips of hits of dopamine.
Better come on.
Mm-hmm. And I would rather you quit watching 50 30-second clips and just do one 30-second clip.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just let it come alive in you, because we're shooting for it with likes and stuff like that, but we're also shooting for it with our 30-second clips. Oh, that's good. And unfortunately, so often what happens in those moments, because I've done it myself, is I'll watch a clip and say, oh, that'd be really good for that person.
Mm.
Or that'd be really good for that person. Or I should play that. I should send that to that person. They need that.
Come on now.
And yet I'm never willing to eat the meal myself. And I was on a mower not too long ago, and I was, the Lord rebuked me. It was a strong rebuke. And He says, you're in the Word to feed others. I want you in the Word to feed yourself. And it was a strong rebuke.
So Aaron, when you're on the plane and you're getting ready to take off, so when that, they say, when this oxygen mask drops, who do they say put it on first? Yourself.
You've got to.
That's it. That's it. And that's exactly what you just said before you.
Wow.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah. And one thing that, Dad has preached and we talk about often is the amount of voices that people allow in today. And I think it was Brother Billy last month when he came over and preached that first Wednesday of month for camp meeting that we had. He said, I had so many voices.
Wow.
And he was talking about the woman pressing through the crowd or getting through the crowd. And he said, my mind was the crowded place.
Wow. Mm.
And he said, I felt so convicted. And he said, I was getting ready to pull out of my driveway. He turned around, went back and sat in his prayer chair, I think is maybe what he referenced it as. And he said, I'm not leaving until you speak to me.
Wow.
Mm.
And I think that's what we neglect today. And, I commend you, for taking that social media break. And anyone listening to do that, because that's when you start yearning and desiring, God, I only want to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't He saying, well, you got to quiet these other ones?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as pastors, that's important. But now, even as a father, I have two kids, and blessed, I'm thankful to have one more on the way. But I know I got to hear God's voice over even my pastor, even my dad, and his voice, or anyone else's voice. And I love what, you feel God shared with you of feed yourself.
That's
this
powerful.
Is for you. And
it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as pastors, it's so easy just to try to keep preparing dishes for everybody.
Yeah. Mm.
And we feel it's like we've got to prepare another one. And you're doing the 2-hour broadcast every morning. You're preaching on Sunday. You're teaching on Wednesday. You got Bible classes. You got chapels. You got all these. And you're like, I got to prepare. And I got to that point where, you went to scoop something out of the bowl and you hit the bottom.
Wow.
Because you had so poured out.
Mm.
And pastors, you got to be careful.
Mm.
You got to be careful, because you'll get to the point to where you feel empty. When you start to feel burnout, it's because you're feeding everybody else and you're eating nothing yourself.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say one thing. Listening, this is so good. I'll let you guys talk. But there's such a temptation, too, I think, for those that have been called to ministry to see what seems to be such deep growth on social media are these, you know, little clips here, clips there, huge followings. There's such a temptation to stay where God's put you and be quiet and to build something weighty, like you're saying. You know, I heard a pastor say one time, you can build an empire and you have to keep it up, but if you build the kingdom, he'll keep it up.
So will.
And so can you speak a little bit into that? Because I think just outside of just kids and just, but the mom or the, you know, the pastor that's maybe he's got a small church and he's trying to pour in and he's pouring his life's blood into something. And then it just looks like something's really quick come up and they're doing this. And not that there's, I'm not going to come against everything because I do think God uses it as a tool. But what a temptation to just be quiet. What do you see in that?
I'll go first. I think he's going to say.
No.
You know, for me, and I remember when God was calling me to preach, and Dad said, I'm staying out of this. He said, I'm going to tell you not to do it. And he said, if it persists, you'll know it to the Lord. But I'm staying out of this decision. If you're in it for the platform, it'll be pulled out from under you. Mm. If you're in it for the stage, I don't want the stage.
Come on,
I don't like to be in front of people. You can ask my dad. I was so shy as a kid, and that's why I know God has me where I'm at, and it gives me the strength and empowerment. And I think things take off because you can be charismatic but not be anointed.
Come on.
Wow.
And there is a difference in protecting the anointing. And what I see, I've been off, you know, most of the social media I have on for like Marketplace or something, but the other one when you seek that, is it not almost what Satan was seeking?
Oh, absolutely.
The assertion.
Wow.
And so what scares me the most is the propulsion of instant fame.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run from that more than I want to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what, and it goes back to that, if you live for their applause, you will die by their criticism. Mm. You can have as many followers as you want and miss God.
Come on.
The one thing that I am so thankful for is this guy sitting next to me, he was Dad first.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the same guy that was on the platform on Sunday mornings as he was at home. And we walked through life, and he was Dad. He's still Dad, but now we walk together as best friends. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. And Aaron, you'll be able to experience that someday with yours, and it's special. But the one thing that I always looked at in him was he said, just seek God first.
Wow.
Don't seek the following. The people are going to come and go. You see them come and go.
Mm-hmm.
So when it is seeking the platform over the presence, it's a sign for me to run. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough when you see people looking for a platform and promotion. You know, Aaron, if I were to attend, you know, Bethel here, and the first thing in the first couple of weeks, I'm asking for a promotion.
Come on, it's a red flag
to you.
Yes, come it is.
On. But if I say, hey, can I open the church on a Saturday night?
You better
to pray,
preach now. You preach it.
Can we have prayer? Absolutely. I'll give you a key. You come in and pray. I don't want a platform. I just, there's a difference in the presence and the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it goes more to that. I'll hand it off to him, but I'm thankful for him and how he's helped formulate that and help me see that early in ministry.
Yeah.
Is it okay, Aaron, to stay here for just a moment?
Absolutely.
Sister Ardburn, I want to tell you this. What a pleasure to meet you today, and blessings upon you and your husband and where God has you. I want to encourage you in something, that there's weight to raising sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. The world has the world, and the enemy presents surrogates at every corner.
Mm-hmm.
But mamas that have their own babies know the push.
Mm-hmm. So
there's something to raising. There's a weight to that. And the thing is, that's the reason that it grieves so many Aaron, you understand this, that you know, you're at the age now, too. You're raising up and have been raising up sons and daughters, sister, daughter in the same way. Well, the weight of that is that when that goes awry, there is a deep pain. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what you find is that you've invested more. And that's the weight of that. And it's something that only the Holy Ghost can help us with. And thank God for the haunting of the Holy Ghost in a holy way. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds us that, but the weight of that. And so I'll throw this in real quick and I'll stop. There's several things, Aaron, that we can talk about another time, but we need to go back to some offices in the Old Testament. That when I say that, and then they were more than office, they were a call and they were a duty in the fact, and I'll use the word midwife. We need mamas coaching other mamas to push.
Come on.
Hello. Because Pharaoh is still alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking to kill anything and everything he can that looks like God's.
Yeah.
But when we got these mamas that say, push, you bear down.
Yeah.
That's what we need. So I don't want to pull too far from where we're at, but sis, that was, you be encouraged.
Yeah. One other thing I want to say on that is you can have a big church. You can have a big
now.
Following.
Come on.
And a little God.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but you can also have a little church and a big God.
See, that's
when you walk in, the presence is just
come on
filling right. that place, and that you just when you pull into the parking lot, you feel it.
That's right.
And
don't let the enemy dupe you, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like there was a question that came to me not too long ago, and it was that same day actually, of the eating your own meal, and he had said, "When does it become significant?"
Come on.
Is it at 100, 200, or is it at 1?
Yeah.
Because when you're chasing charisma, you got to have the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're chasing the anointing, all you need is 1.
Oh, it's just 1. And your focus is on, boy, that is rich. Mm.
And that's something I've had to live by. And, because this is what I found. When you really start preaching the real word and the real truth, things tend to shrink before the growth.
Yeah.
Because he's weeding it out.
It was the same with Jesus when he said, you know, those that want to follow after me must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And many, and there in Matthew 6, turned
John
from
6.
Him. John 6, yeah. Forgive me. And I think that's what we see. Dad and I were actually talking on the way over here. I do see a desire and a longing in some people to go deeper right now.
Absolutely.
And I'm thankful for that. To go past the surface. I think some of the surface Christianity, let's be praying that it'll be pushed aside and people do want to go deeper in that walk
right
and
there.
Deeper with him.
I see it right.
Amen. Oh, yes.
When he said in his word, that's where we've been for the past several weeks, launch out into the deep, there was so much more there that I don't want to go too far here, but Simon Peter had a lot to deal with. I know this lake better than you, Jesus. If you have anything, you're a carpenter. Mm. He had to get over that. He had to get over the exhaustion, pastors.
Yep.
He had to get, I know. But all these things, he said, launch out into the deep. This is the thing that we're talking about today. Service Christianity is not going to work.
No.
It will not work. But when you go to the deep, you're going to confront different things. You're going to confront the unknown. You're going to confront the Leviathan. You're going to confront the Python spirit. You're going to confront the spirit of Anak. You're going to confront these things. And it's when you say, I don't even know what's going on. That's the enemy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've got to get over the deep is the exuberance and the eyes rolling back in the head, and that's deep when you really deep is when you're dealing with the pride that
you better
never
come
touched.
On. That's
deep
it.
Is when you're forgiving people you never thought you would forgive. Deep is whenever you're loving on the waitress, double tipping her, and praying for her right there at the table. Now we're getting some substance.
You know, Aaron, is what we're talking about, is it not true? Because we look at a broad base, and I'll make this quick. We look at a broad base, what we're talking about, social media. It has wide, but it's not deep. And see, this is one of the problems. And you've heard this before. So width brings shallow. Deep is different. And so widespread is different than that depth.
It's substance.
You know, in prayer the other night, it was so funny because I could just see a picture of a submarine.
Oh, yeah.
And how the
pressure of that submarine, and you see the beautiful ship that's on top and how big. If you've ever seen Yorktown in South Carolina, it's gorgeous. It's for everybody to see, but the submarine is such a mighty instrument of war, and nobody sees it.
Come on.
And it's a tight place to be, and it's difficult, and you can't see anything in front of you, can't see any. You are totally dependent upon just, I think it's, I forgot what they use, some type of tracking. And that's where God's calling. He's calling us to the deep. He's calling us. So funny that you're saying this, because I literally said this Tuesday night. God's calling us to a submarine life. Amen.
That's so good. So hang good. On. Hang on to that.
Well, we are out of time. We're going to have to do this again. Definitely.
Gosh, it was so good. Do it on a Thursday. Do it on Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I know you both are busy, and thank you so for so much for coming out here. Jake, great start. It's like a natural.
Well, thank you.
It's a natural.
Humbled. Thankful for the opportunity. Appreciate you guys and all you do.
Well, honored.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, we're out of here for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.